You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back, Ryan Anderson, hashtag Road Rhino. On that joyous note, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily and post-game commentary on your Houston Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose. Today's show is brought to you courtesy of our friends and sponsors over at the Draft app. Go to draft.com or download that Draft app and use the promo code LORockets and come play for free in a real money fantasy basketball draft right now. The Rockets on Tuesday night, they went down early in Minnesota by 13 points in the first quarter against a Minnesota team that entered number 4 in the West and only a half game back to the Spurs for number 3. And ultimately, it didn't even matter. The Rockets ended up winning by a very comfortable margin, improving to 43-13 on the season. That's 9 consecutive wins and 13 of 14 since the return of James Harden from a grade 2 hamstring strain less than a month ago. Harden led the way in scoring, 34 points, 12 assists, 6 rebounds. It started slow for James, 6-15, but made 4 of his last 5 from the field, including 3 from behind the arc, 6 of 10. Rockets, again, 126-108 winners. The Timberwolves cut it to 4 early in the fourth quarter before the Rockets just hit them with an onslaught. The Rockets kicked it into a gear that only maybe the Warriors, if that, have in the league. Just an incredible shooting display late. And again, if you go back to the first quarter and they were down 13, the Rockets ultimately flipped this by 31 points, going from down 13 early to winning by 18. And there's a lot of storylines that you can go into with this. Certainly James Harden was the most valuable player, but I'm going to start with Ryan Anderson because, folks, he might be the most valuable variable. And when it comes to the Rockets actually beating the Warriors 4 times out of 7 in the playoffs, you need variables. You don't have 4 superstars the way they do that are going to be all-star level contributors, assuming they're healthy, every single year. You have 2 in Chris Paul and James Harden that are tremendous. But with this deep cast of role players, you need some to step up. You can't afford any zeros. And for Ryan Anderson, after, I won't say it's been a prolonged slump, because generally he had gotten it going 3.5 straight games of quality shooting before going out with the sprained ankle last week. Didn't really seem to have his timing back until tonight. But to see Ryan in a new role off the bench, 26 minutes, 7 of 12 from the field, 21 points, 6 of 10 from 3. Most importantly, of the 6 threes, 4 came in the fourth quarter, and it was instrumental in breaking open what was a tight game. Again, the Timberwolves had cut it to 4 with about 8 minutes left, and all of a sudden, it was back at 10 before the 6-minute mark because of Ryan Anderson hitting shots that, as Craig Ackerman said, were from Lake Minnetonka. That's how deep they were on this, what I'm sure was a cold night in Minnesota, but certainly not for Ryan with the way he was shooting it from behind the arc. And it's a great sign, certainly, to see Ryan put his struggles in the rearview mirror. There have been some perkiness of Ryan of late. We've discussed how he has to shoot the ball, which is part of the equation for him. He needs to shoot it more often just to make defenses respect him in the offense. But it's another thing to actually have him see the ball go in this many times, and more importantly, have the opposing defense have to respect him to that level, because boy, did that open up the driving lanes later in the quarter for the remainder of the Rockets. Certainly you had to sag off, and that's when James Harden got going with some of his threes from behind the arc, and before you know it, the onslaught was on, and the Rockets ended up winning by 18 points. What I think is most important about this is that Ryan did it off the bench. He did it early in the fourth quarter. That was when he had his most success with 4 threes in succession. It was important for a couple of things. First, matchup-wise, the Timberwolves are a big team. They are a prototype Tom Thibodeau. Karl Anthony Towns in the middle, salute to him. He had a big night, 35-12. Taj Gibson, Andrew Wiggins. There's a ton of length. There's a ton of physicality. It's a very prototype Thibodeau team in that regard. So this is a matchup that seems tailor-made for Ryan Anderson, a stretch four, to take advantage of their size and perhaps their inability or refusal to come out on the floor. Fortunately, he did that. Now, it required going to 26, 27 feet out, but that's part of what you have Ryan for. He's not just a three-point shooter. He's capable of taking it a few steps beyond the three-point line, which only a few players are able to do in the league. So salute to Ryan. He exploited the matchup. He did it early in the fourth quarter, which is his new role coming off the bench. And above all else, what I think folks need to give Ryan credit for is having the attitude, despite the rumors at the trade deadline that his name was out there, despite a new role, because as I said Sunday, the whole idea that the Rockets are just experimenting. They don't want anyone to focus on the starting lineup. I don't buy that. As I told you guys Sunday, I think it's something the Rockets starting P.J. Tucker for now. We'll see what happens when Ariza comes back. Either you could keep starting P.J., maybe you slide Luke Bamute up. But the bottom line is, I don't think it's coincidental and experiment that they moved Ryan Anderson. I think it's something that they've been looking at for a while, and with his return to form lately from a shooting standpoint, it's an easier way to make the move now, maybe also going into the All-Star break where you have more time to practice with your new units, etc., etc. There's just a lot of reasons to do it. Certainly, if Ryan's going to be a defensive deficiency, it's less important if he does it off the bench as opposed to against some of the starting fours and fives from around the league. And also, if he gets hot, then all of a sudden his offense is even more important because you don't have the defensive liabilities when you're going up against the other team's second unit players. There's a lot of reason to consider this. I think the Rockets probably have for a while. It was about when the right time was to make the move. Maybe the injury helped a little bit, but the bottom line, the Rockets are rolling now, 9 wins in a row, 13 of 14 since Harden's return. But for a guy like Anderson, who is a veteran in this league, it would be very easy to say, I'm not willing, okay, that's a little much, but to not embrace it the way he has. But for a veteran, despite the Rockets having so much success with him in the starting lineup, to adjust to that role without question, he's been asked about it in the media, and he said whenever he comes into the game, his focus is the same. And then to see him go out and execute in that role, that takes a very high degree of professionalism. And no matter what you think of Ryan Anderson, the basketball player, I know his limitations. This has been a challenging season for him. It started all off season with the Carmelo rumors, in which he was directly related to that. Folks wanting to send him out of town, even though he wasn't on Twitter. You better believe he was aware of that. Folks wanted to send him out. Then the trade deadline rumors. The Rockets certainly have to at least do their due diligence with the size of his contract and their goals to go after LeBron James, which are no secret. Then to go through one of the worst shooting slumps of his career. There are so many reasons why you could have seen his effort sulk, but it didn't. And so I'm just incredibly happy to see him get going. And not just get going, but in his new role, which certainly I think that's the optimal role for Ryan. I think it's no coincidence that that's why the Pelicans had him off the bench when they were a playoff team, because you potentially get some of the benefits of the offense, maybe that microwave effect off the bench while mitigating the defense a little bit. The Rockets just couldn't do that last year because they didn't have that many bodies. There were not that many other pieces they could turn to at the four spot. Now with P.J. Tucker, Luke Bamute, you have options that you can turn to. You could even have Joe Johnson, who will be joining the team relatively soon. And all of a sudden, it's much easier to get Ryan into the role that I think is probably best suited for him and his skill set. And then kudos to Ryan for having the professionalism to adapt to it right away and to see him have a game in which he was the difference maker down the stretch against a very good team. Say what you will, Minnesota 35-25, even with the loss, they are the fourth seed in the Western Conference, enter tonight just a half game behind the Spurs for the three. And this was a challenging game, especially in a gym in Minnesota where the Timberwolves had won 13 consecutive home games and were 16-1 against the Western Conference this season. They were good tonight. We mentioned Karl Anthony Towns, 35-12. Jamal Crawford had one of what felt like his throwback games off the bench, only had 11 points, but it felt like all of them came in key moments. Jeff Teague, of all people, 25 points, 10 of 15 from the field. The Timberwolves played well, and they clearly wanted this game. There's such little separation. We mentioned they're just a half game back of the Spurs for the three spot going into tonight. Well, they're only two games up in the loss column of the LA Clippers, who are in the 9 seed now in the playoffs. So there's a lot more incentive for the Wolves than there is the Rockets, who are clearly locked into one of the top 2 seeds in the Western Conference. And even if they had lost tonight, they're one day from the All-Star break. By the way, it's very easy for veteran teams like the Rockets. You've seen some lethargic efforts from the Warriors of late. When you're a veteran-laden team, you know you're about to have 9 games off. It's very easy to kind of cruise into the break knowing what's on the other side. It felt like early on that might be what the Rockets were doing. The Timberwolves have a lot more challengers close to them in the standings. The Rockets, even if they had lost that game, would still have been only one game back of the Warriors in the loss column with the tiebreaker, and yet the Rockets got it done. There's a lot of people that you can credit for that. Certainly James Harden, who, as we said, 34 points and 12 assists. He's the MVP frontrunner for a reason. But folks, we're going to start with Ryan Anderson, because to see Ryan do it in a key spot on the road against a good team and buy into a new role for him off the bench, boy, that's one of the only variables that you might question about this Rockets team, assuming health, going down the stretch. And it's a great sign to see him get going, and it's, well, it's a much-needed sign, because certainly to beat the Warriors 4 times out of 7 in May and June, whether you have home court or not, you're going to need some of those variables to check out, and Ryan Anderson is one of those. If you can get some minutes like that from him in the playoffs, boy, that is going to be enormous. Now, we'll discuss the remainder of the Rockets in part two of our usual 3 points recap in just a few moments. But for now, I do want to pause and acknowledge our awesome sponsors over at the Draft app, because without their support, we would not be able to bring this show to you as frequently as we do, the only daily podcast covering the Houston Rockets. And folks, tomorrow night, it's the last time the Rockets and any NBA team will play for over a week. It's the last day of games before the All-Star break. And if you want to get in on the action, well, let me take it back. There are a couple of games on Thursday, but for most teams, the Rockets included, tomorrow's the finale. And so if you want to get in on the action before there's a prolonged period of no basketball, you want to make some money off of your observations and maybe off some of the insights you gather from here on Locked on Rockets and other shows across this network, why don't you go play at the Draft app? Because, folks, it is so easy. You download that Draft app or go to draft.com, and it's just so simple. That's why it's my favorite fantasy site. You're not getting crushed by the pros. Over 1 million people have already downloaded the Draft app or played at Draft.com because, folks, it's just so easy. You play in a real live NBA draft whenever you're listening to this podcast, and you can be done in under 5 minutes and get paid out the very next day. Drafts literally fill out every second, and you can join one whenever you want. And the scoring system, well, folks, studies show your odds are 80% better of winning on draft than they are on other salary cap sites. So there's a lot of reasons to play beyond the efficiency, the simplicity of the site. And folks, the real perk of this, of course, you guys as my listeners here at Locked In Rockets, y'all all get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit just by using the promo code LORockets. That's right, you can play in a real money draft for free just by using that LORockets promo code. And folks, Draft is so certain that you'll love it that they're offering Locked On Rockets listeners a money-back guarantee of up to $100. The way it works, when you make your initial deposit, they'll give you a $3 ticket to try the service for free with the LO Rockets promo code. And folks, if you're not satisfied for any reason, they'll give you the rest of your money back. So you really can try it for free. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com. And come play for free right now with me and other listeners and hosts across this great Locked On podcast network with the promo code LO Rockets. So folks, jumping back into the program, spent the first segment espousing the virtues of Ryan Anderson and how important that is for the Rockets long-term in this season. The second, certainly we can go up and down the roster. You mentioned James Harden, 34-12-6. It was most important for James, not just that it was 34-12, but the way he finished. Folks, Ryan Anderson did the heavy lifting early in the fourth quarter, broke open what was a four-point game to double digits. Then James finished it out. James, in the final 6 minutes of the game, 14 points, 4-5 from the field, including three made three-pointers, a couple of them from 27 and 28 feet. He started the game 6-15. He finished at 10 of 20. He was a little inefficient Sunday, but when the Rockets needed him, he closed it out. Ryan Anderson did most of the heavy lifting early in that quarter. P.J. Tucker hit a big three from the corner and pushed it to 13. Then James Harden came in, and not only did the Rockets not let the Timberwolves back in the game, they actually extended the lead, which is what great teams do. That's what MVPs do. When they smell blood, they're able to put their foot on the gas. That's what James did tonight. But folks, it was overall, again, it was a team win. Certainly, James did his part, 34-12. We mentioned Ryan with 21 points, including six threes. Eric Gordon off the bench, 13 points, had a couple of big threes in the second half. Nene had 8 points. Clint Capella, even though he had 14-12, and you look at Karl-Anthony Towns having 35-12, and you say, wow, did Clint have a poor night? I don't necessarily think so. I think Karl-Anthony Towns is a hell of a player who made some tough shots, including a couple of threes. By and large, I thought Clint frustrated him. I thought Clint was very efficient in his 26 minutes. Again, we mentioned 14-12, but he was 5 of 7 from the field, 4 of 6 from the free throw line. The Timberwolves, early in the game, the Rockets made a very necessary adjustment. The Timberwolves, they were using Karl-Anthony Towns to switch on the perimeter. When that happens, you've got to have Clint roll to the bucket, make a couple of shots, get fouled in the middle to punish them for switching smaller defenders onto them. Clint did that. That made the Wolves a little more tentative the rest of the game on defending in such an aggressive manner and switching with Karl-Anthony Towns, because Clint proved that he could punish them on the rolls if they were to do that. And just from a rebounding perspective, folks, we mentioned Karl-Anthony Towns had 35-12. Well, folks, Cat played 35 minutes to get those 12 rebounds. Clint had 12, equaled him in 26 minutes. And as we mentioned, Nene off the bench had 8 points in 14 minutes. So the Rockets' two bigs, I know, Clint 14-12, Nene 8-2. You don't see the jaw-popping stat line that you do with Karl-Anthony Towns 35-12, but cumulatively, I think they did their job. And just imagine what can happen when you have Brandon Wright and his option of even more vertical spacing once he gets activated, which he was not tonight, I do not believe, in his first game with the Rockets following his signing late Monday. But folks, you could go up and down the roster. Luke Bamute and P.J. Tucker each played about 30 minutes combined, 6 of 10 from the field. P.J., tremendous sign, 3 of 4 from three-point range. That's always, with P.J., if he makes threes, and then you add to that his defense and toughness, then folks, the odds are he's going to be a tremendously valuable player for you. He was plus 14. Luke was plus 15. Their defense was what it was. You mentioned Sunday night. Maybe there was a little bit of tired legs for them, having lugged so many minutes with the absence of Trevor Ariza due to a hamstring injury. They got a day off. They seemed recharged. And then the guy we haven't discussed that much, Chris Paul, 13 points, 7 assists, 8 rebounds. But folks, in his 34 minutes, he was a team best plus 22. And even if the stat line seems a little bit more pedestrian than the 25, 9, and 8 he had on Sunday, folks, some games it's about more than just the counting stats. Some games it's about a mentality. And more than anything else for the Rockets, more than any individual stat line, save maybe Ryan Anderson, just because of how important it is to see him get going, what I think the Rockets showed tonight was a certain resolute desire that only a few teams in the league have, a certain maturity. Because we mentioned the Timberwolves going into this game, 13 consecutive home wins, 16-1 against the Western Conference. Number 3 seed, it was only a half game back for them, and number 4, but so many teams tightly bunched between 3 and 10 in the West. There's a ton of incentive for Minnesota to win that game. There's a ton of confidence. And with the Rockets getting off to a slow shooting start, the Timberwolves got up to a 27-14 lead. And for a lot of teams going into the All-Star break, that's the perfect recipe to take the foot off the gas and say, hey, this isn't really our night, especially tomorrow night. The Rockets have a game against the Kings in Houston. They're going to be heavy favorites then. And while it would have been fun, I don't think any of us could have said, well, it's the end of the world if the Rockets had not really had it tonight, especially with some of the injuries they've been fighting. We mentioned guys like Luke and PJ lugging a lot of minutes in the absence of Trevor Ariza, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot of excuses, but if you want to catch the Warriors over 82 games, you can't make those excuses. You can't afford to give away almost anything. And the Rockets tonight, even down 13 early against a team in the top half of the Western Conference, a very quality opponent with a ton of talented difference makers. Haven't even mentioned Jimmy Butler yet, but folks, he had 15 points, and it's arguably their best player. You can throw him up there right with Karl-Anthony Towns. This is a very talented Minnesota team playing in a gym where they have had amazing results this year, and the Rockets, despite a 13-point deficit, not only did they turn it around and win, they won it going away. And sure, you can point to the fourth quarter, which was fun, but I just think in general there was a certain steadiness. And as you mentioned, James Harden, he was great to finish. He wasn't great to start. He was a little sluggish from the field, didn't seem to have his usual bounce until late in the game, but I thought Chris Paul, there was just a certain resolute desire, just keep playing. And that's what the Rockets did, despite the early struggles. They did not get down on themselves. You didn't see slumped shoulders. You didn't see rolling eyes. If anything, it was the Timberwolves that were rattled. You saw the way Karl-Anthony Towns and so many other people were riding the officials all night. The Rockets, they trusted themselves. They trusted the effort that over the course of the game, the shots would fall. And even though they struggled at the start, folks, the Rockets ended up shooting 22 of 47 from behind the arc, almost 47%. We mentioned Ryan Anderson and James Harden getting hot late. And of course, if the Rockets make 22 threes and shoot nearly 47%, they're pretty much unbeatable. Ultimately, it ended up that way. But the reason it ended up that way is because despite the early struggles, the Rockets did not let it affect their overall effort level. And I think this was a game in which, even though it doesn't show it in the box score, if you watched it, it reflects the veteran maturity of Chris Paul and probably also the veteran maturity of James Harden. And that maybe is chalked up a little bit to Chris Paul and some of his influence rubbing off over this great season that's now at 43-13 for the Rockets through 56 games. Just one more to go tomorrow night against the Kings at home at Toyota Center before the Rockets get to the All-Star break and a well-deserved week plus of rest. Now, the final segment of the show, we're going to talk a little bit about things that are happening off the floor. Because as I record this at 10 p.m. on Tuesday night, Joe Johnson is not officially a Houston Rocket yet. And while it was a complicated day, technically as of 4 p.m., he cleared waivers. The Kings released him on Sunday the same way that Brandon Wright cleared waivers on Monday because the Memphis Grizzlies released him on Saturday. The Rockets finalized the Brandon Wright thing before tonight's game, but he didn't play because, as we said, Mike D'Antoni wants his players, ideally, unless it's a desperation situation, like when Gerald Green was added to the team and the Rockets were running out of bodies with Chris Paul and Clint Capella, all the injuries they had at that point late in December. Ideally, you want any player, even veterans, to go through at least a practice or two with your team, and the All-Star break is a perfect time to start building that continuity with new pieces, including Joe Johnson and Brandon Wright. But Brandon, even though he signed, that's why he wasn't active, there's no reason to force him in, especially when your core rotation is as playing well as it is right now. Joe Johnson, as of 4 p.m., he was eligible to sign. He, at this time, it may be different by the time you're listening to it, but this time he hasn't signed yet, and there's been a little bit of intrigue on Twitter. It came out earlier today through Shams Charania of Yahoo Sports, and the Rockets are planning to release Troy Daniels. That came as a slight surprise. Now, he only has a partial guarantee for next year, but it comes as a slight surprise because there is a little bit of money owed to him next year. So unless he reclaimed on waivers, which could be possible, but certainly not a lock, you'd be committing some dead money to your cap in a year in which the Rockets are expecting to pay a luxury tax. That's never fun. Also, because you just added Brandon Wright, that means you have a disproportionate amount of centers on the roster. So most of it's expected Troy to stick because of either the center factor or the money or the combination of both. Well, ultimately, he did stick, and whether the Rockets had later information that kind of contradicted what they thought early on, maybe they just changed their minds, the Rockets did not end up releasing Troy Williams. Again, they do have to create a roster spot for Joe Johnson. The one roster spot they had open went to Brandon Wright. And there are two ways that they could go at this point. It's either going to be Tarik Black or Chinonu Onuwaku. And the benefit to releasing Tarik Black, as we've said before, he's on a one-year deal. You could release him. You're not going to go into the luxury tax. And it's a clean break. There's no money going forward that you owe to him. There's no dead money. It's just a clean break. The downside is that, well, you trusted Tarik Black to play real minutes for you this season. Now, maybe with the addition of Brandon Wright, you won't have to anymore. But the point is, you're 43-13, and Tarik Black, however small, has played a role for you at times this year. Chinonu Onuwaku certainly is not, but he has a fully guaranteed contract for next year. So why did the Rockets make this move, and who ultimately is going to get the heave-ho to make room for Joe Johnson? And yes, Joe Johnson is still going to join. There's just no huge rush because I don't expect him to play after not going through any practices. Same reason as Brandon Wright. Just easy to add Brandon immediately because you had the roster spot open. Why the hell not? In terms of this other addition with Joe Johnson, there's not a roster spot open, so there's no reason to rush or cut, especially if you cut Tarik Black, who was an active player for the Rockets tonight and theoretically could play. We'll see what happens tomorrow with Nene on the back end of a back-to-back at 35 years old. He often does not play in those. It's fully realistic that Tarik Black could even play real minutes tomorrow night, depending on if the Rockets would be willing to throw Brandon Wright in there without as much as a practice. So we'll have to see what happens. But if the Rockets are going to release Tarik instead of Troy, which is a possibility, then there's no reason to sign Joe before a game in which he's not going to play. If you're going to release Tarik, you should probably play out the string with him on your active roster, even if it's unlikely that he plays, just to have an option that you trust. There's no reason with the Rockets, every game is precious, tied in the loss column with the Warriors, but with the tiebreaker for the league's best record, there's no reason to make a move when you don't have to. Now, it's not a guarantee that it's Tarik. The reason I'm not 100% convinced it's Tarik anymore is that folks at the Rockets were just going to make a clean break with Tarik based on the money angle. Then they could have done that before apparently deciding to release Troy Williams. Now, it's possible they just changed their mind, and for various reasons, they're entitled to do that. They can use all the time at their disposal to make a decision, and maybe Daryl Morey and his staff just decided to go a different direction. The other possibility, maybe Chinonu Onuwaku, I don't necessarily think that the Rockets would eat his entire contract, because his is fully guaranteed, whereas Troy's is a partial. And Troy Williams, no disrespect to Troy, but Daryl Morey and his staff are great at finding wings on the cheap, especially at the G League level. I don't think necessarily that Troy is irreplaceable here, and so all things being equal, if they were willing to eat the contract either way, then I think you probably would have released the smaller contract being Troy as opposed to the fully guaranteed being Onuwaku. The other reason you might pull Troy back is if you had gotten an indication that someone via waivers would be willing to claim Onuwaku's contract. Remember, he is just in his second year. It was a high second-round draft pick. I don't think it's impossible for him to be seen as a legitimate prospect. And if that's the case, then if the Rockets got word that someone would claim Onuwaku, then maybe they'll release him, and thus it'll be the same effect as cutting Black in that there's no long-term cap consequences, except you keep Black, even if it's unlikely, even if he's not active, then you still have a guy who's played minutes for you on a very successful team this year. So there's both ways that it could go. It could be as simple as the Rockets just having second thoughts on the guaranteed money, or deciding the roster composition was a little imbalanced towards center, or it could be maybe that you found out through the grapevine that someone was willing to take Anuaku. Either way, you can make cases both ways. I'm not going to say that I know, because it's very plausible that either of those is correct, but I think it's pretty clear if you pulled back Troy once, I highly doubt the reverse course a second time. I think it's either going to be Tarik or Chinanu that goes out, and then you have a little bit more balanced roster in terms of wings versus centers, everything else. The other thing to keep in mind, the last thing I want to throw out there before we close out this podcast, keep in mind that with Tarik Black, even if you keep him, the odds are he is not going to be an active player, barring injuries, because you have your original nine-man rotation, plus Gerald Green, plus Joe Johnson, plus Brandon Wright. Even though you have a 15-man roster, plus your two-way contracts, you can only have 12 active players at a time. That hasn't changed. So that might diminish the value of Black a little bit, because even if you trust him, it's not like you can keep him active. Now, you would have him as injury insurance, and there's still, what, 26 games to go in the regular season, Rockets tied to the Warriors, so there is a certain value in that. But the other reason I want to bring this up, I see folks asking, well, could the Rockets still be active on the buyout market even more? For example, if someone claims Anuaku and you keep Tarik Black, could they theoretically get even another buyout before the end of February, and because you could just release Tarik and his contract that way at a later date? In theory, you could, but the problem I see in that, I doubt you have many players that are willing to sign without even the guarantee of an active roster spot. Joe Johnson and Brandon Wright, they signed without the guarantee of playing time. They don't know exactly what their role is going to be, but they know they're at least going to be active and have a chance to play. For Tony Allen or any other name that's out there on the market to sign with the Rockets with the 12 they have now, assuming there's no injury. Now, if there's an injury that looks like it's going to be significant, then maybe that changes the calculus. But for now, I would be very surprised if there was another buyout addition, only because I just don't see a player being willing to sign here if they have any other options, if the Rockets can't even guarantee them an active roster spot. Because if your original nine-man rotation, plus Gerald, Joe, and Brandon, who are you not going to activate? It's one thing to take a role at the end of the bench and not have guaranteed playing time. It's another thing altogether to sign and not even be guaranteed that you can dress out. You may have to sit out in street clothes at the end of the bench. That seems a little far-fetched. Now, if there's injuries, there's still a ways to go in February. The Rockets might be well-positioned. We'll see what happens. But ultimately, that's why I don't expect them to be active in the buyout market from here forward, knock on wood, assuming there are no injuries. And also, that might chip away at the value of Tarik Black a little bit. Even if he is insurance, how much is that insurance worth if he's not able to be active? That's another thing you have to ask yourself as the Rockets go down the stretch of making a decision who gets released for the signing of Joe Johnson, which may happen by the time you're listening to this podcast, but I do want to address it just in case it's not, because I'm sure some of you guys have been refreshing, hitting F5 on your computers all day, wondering when the move is going to be made, and that's my analysis of where things stand as we chat at about 10 p.m. on Tuesday evening. Very last thing I want to throw out before we close out. If you have not heard, if you're a subscriber in Houston, other than UVerse, but if you have, I believe, DirecTV, Comcast, any of the other smaller Phonoscope, those types of cable affiliates that have AT&T Sportsnet, there's a new development today that you should pay attention to. AT&T Sportsnet, they now have computer streaming, and they have a mobile app to where you can, if in market, watch the Rockets game from your computer or your phone. That is huge. Now, you can't do it if you're out of the Houston market, but it's the same thing that was brought to the Astros last year, and I think it's so big to follow this team because we have a sport like the NBA with 82 games or MLB, 162 games. Folks, we all have lives. Things come up. You can't be in front of your home TV every night. Things happen. But the opportunity to watch it, even if you're somewhere else, because oftentimes, even if you don't have an unlimited data plan, well, folks, everybody has Wi-Fi these days, the opportunity to watch the Rockets via in-market streaming, if you're in the Houston area, or I think anywhere that's just in the Rockets area. I think, theoretically, if you're in, I don't know, Beaumont, College Station, anywhere else where the Rockets are your in-market team, then I think the same would apply to you. But the bottom line, as of today, AT&T has it up and running. I tested it tonight, and so it's a little thing. Certainly doesn't have to do with the product on the floor, but it's another way to keep up with your Rockets if you aren't already. Be it computer, your phone, your tablet, whatever it may be, just search the AT&T Sportsnet app, or I believe go to AT&T's website. They are rolling that out now. I tried it tonight. It works perfectly. So don't forget that it's just another way that you can keep up with this awesome basketball team that, as we mentioned tonight, now 43-13 on the year with just one game left tomorrow at home against the Kings before the All-Star break. So with that said, I will wrap things there because, folks, we'll have another show tomorrow night because, well, it's a back-to-back, one of the final back-to-backs for the Rockets this year. So we can all be grateful for that. I think there's only one more after this one the rest of the way. But, folks, again, the happy final for Minnesota. Rockets 126, Timberwolves 108. Rockets now 43-13 on the season. Winners of 9 in a row and 13-14 since the return of James Harden. How sweet it is. And, of course, they wrap up the pre-All-Star break portion of the schedule tomorrow night at home against the Sacramento Kings. An opportunity to get to the break at just an astounding 44-13. And, of course, tied with the Golden State Warriors in the loss column for the best record in the Western Conference. Tomorrow night, of course, is a Wednesday night, and that reminds me, well, folks, that's Draft Wednesday across the Lockdown Podcast Network. So, folks, don't forget about our sponsors today. Go to draft.com or download the Draft app and use the promo code LORockets and come play for free in a real money fantasy basketball draft. I'd urge tomorrow being an ideal day for it because it's the last full day of NBA action for, really, over a week until next Friday. That's the next time the Rockets are in action after tomorrow night's game. So if you've been thinking about getting in on the action, making a little bit of money, do it tomorrow because speak now or, well, hold your peace for about 8 or 9 days because it's going to be a pretty long layoff, although a well-deserved one for a Rockets team that's had to gut it out through a number of injuries and yet, despite all that, is 43-13 and has a great opportunity against the overmatched Kings to get to 44-13 tomorrow night. Final thoughts before I go out. That's our chance to do plugs. LockedOnRockets.com is the website. Locked On Rockets. We also have a Facebook page. That's Facebook.com/LockedOnRockets. And Twitter is @LockedOnRockets. I'm your host, Ben DuBose. You can follow me on Twitter @BenDuBose. And if you're not already interacting with us on Twitter or via Facebook or other platforms, then you can also email us the old school way, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. That's yet another way that you can be interactive with us, and we want to hear from you because we want to be there for you guys as the only daily podcast covering your Houston Rockets. So until tomorrow night, I will sign off here. Folks, enjoy the remainder of your evening. One final time, the happy final from Minnesota. Rockets 126, Timberwolves 108. Rockets now 43-13 on the year and winners of 9 consecutive games and 13-14. On that note, have a good evening, folks.